This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, Oanda market analyst Kenny Fisher, and in the United States, Trader Nick. How you doing, guys?
Doing good, Johnny.
Good afternoon.
So the big headlines of the day so far, the inflation numbers on both sides of the Atlantic are promising. Here in the UK, we've seen prices rise by less than had been feared, and that is going to take a lot of pressure off the UK Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, with a possible rate cut ahead in February. And on your side of the pond, Nick, encouraging signs as far as inflation is concerned.
Yeah, CPI, as you mentioned, in the UK and US, both coming down. And we know this stuff is really important to look at on a global scale because, of course, where inflation exists in one place, it can be exported or imported to other places as well. So to see both key economies print lower than expected inflation numbers was definitely good news. Markets kind of cheering that today. We saw some key market moves that I think a lot of investors, a lot of analysts were hoping for. A little bit of a cool off in the dollar index is good for, I think, most people right now, including, by the way, some U.S. businesses. Remember, when the dollar is very, very strong, it actually hurts exports for U.S. businesses. So there's a little bit of a sigh of relief from all sides here, I think, with inflation not necessarily being too problematic despite rising oil prices. That's good news. Key thing here to note about the U.S. side of things is that CPI year over year actually came out aligned with expectations. The year over year number was 2.9 compared to 2.9 expected. However, the core CPI number came in lighter than expected, and that was good news for markets because, of course, the more sticky components of the economy that exist in core CPI, that's really what the Fed is after. They're trying to really get at the root of the inflation issues rather than fixating too much on the headline, kind of more volatile food and energy side. The core CPI dipping a little bit was definitely good news for the market, and we see that reflected in prices here abroad. I mean, if you take a look to start in the currency world, which is, of course, where a lot of our listeners are kind of interested in because we have a pretty global audience, you take a look at like the euro and the pound and the Kiwi dollar, the Australian dollar. These currencies are finally seeing some relief in terms of their price action. We've seen just nonstop unidirectional stuff with the dollar index just continuing higher. Today finally offers a little bit of a sigh of relief. If you take a look at, example, the Australian dollar back up to 62.37. Doesn't sound like a big jump, but that's at least a pause in the recent selling that we've seen in a lot of key currencies. The euro back up to 1.033. And of course, Johnny, the pound today, 1.2290, which is, you know, a bounce off of those lows. And I think that, again, most market participants sighed a sigh of relief today with inflation numbers just not scaring the market as much as feared. I think that's the key thing here. Inflation didn't fall aggressively in the United States, but it did in the UK. Inflation came down. That was good. And in the US, it didn't meet all the fear that was out there ahead of the CPI report.
And you mentioned the pound, 122.90 against the dollar. I mean, if you consider where we were just a few months ago at 132, it's small comfort, really, but comfort nonetheless. And as I said, the unexpected dip in December has raised expectation of an interest rate cut. Just to give you the numbers, prices in the UK rising 2.5% in the year to December. That's down from 2.6% the month before. And that is the first fall in inflation for 3 months. But of course, it is higher than the Bank of England's target. However, the latest figures do ease pressure on Chancellor Rachel Reeves, who's faced a lot of criticism following that fall in the value of the pound and government borrowing costs hitting the highest level for several years. So we've got the interest rate announcement next month, and certainly the inflation figure strengthens the case for a cut down to 4.5% next month. So that's going to give a little bit of leeway for the Chancellor. Of course, where you are, Nick, a big change happening on Monday. I suppose the incoming administration would also welcome better figures than expected as well.
Yeah, and there was also something else on that side that I think is really interesting. The Trump administration seems not necessarily to be letting off the gas, if you will, on tariffs. But there was some mention that tariff rollouts could potentially be sequential rather than all at once. I saw some interesting articles and headlines about this. That is a pretty noticeable change. It basically shows the Trump administration does not want an incredibly strong dollar. They don't want high interest rates. I mean, Trump is a real estate and a stock market guy. He wants rates to be low. You know, I do think that there's a lot of fear out there about the tariffs, Johnny. And I do think that we as humans, we typically seek out problems more than we seek out kind of like the good stuff. It's just it's our nature. So I think that there's a lot of good that's coming with the Trump administration. And that's not a political view. It's just simply, I think that the market's perspective is, look, the tariffs are a big fear component, but there's also a lot of this that is arguably positive for risk assets. And if we look at the Trump administration previously, something to note is that U.S. dollar strength under Trump, as soon as he joined office, he pretty much created a pretty strong bearish trend for the dollar. So I'm curious to see if we see some interesting reversals on dollar policies and that maybe some of this fear around tariffs is a little overdone, but we'll have to see.
Let's turn now to our undermarket analyst, Kenny Fisher. And Kenny, you've been listening to what Nick and I have had to say about those decreasing price pressures on both sides of the Atlantic. What's your view?
We're seeing a lot of movement on the currency markets with the downside of the U.S. inflation report. Most notably, the Japanese yen is down over 1% against the dollar. There's a combination of factors at work at that very sharp decline. Part of it is due to the U.S. inflation report. We're seeing that with other currencies as well. The U.S. dollar is down because of the significant drop in the core CPI. That's also helped boost the yen today. But I think more importantly, Bank of Japan Governor Ueda said that the Bank of Japan will indeed discuss a rate hike at next week's monetary meeting. This isn't really a new development. We already had the deputy governor say the same thing a couple of days ago. But it just shows us that investors are always hungry for news as far as what the Bank of Japan is going to do. They tend to keep their cards very close to the chest. And no one really knows if they're going to raise rates next week or will they wait. So the fact that they're at least discussing it, I don't think we'll get anything more concrete from the Bank of Japan as far as will they raise rates or not. But that in itself, the fact that they're planning to even discuss it has given the yen a very large boost today against the dollar. For the Fed meeting in January, we're still looking at almost a virtual certainty that the Fed will hold. But there's a much stronger chance of a rate cut in March. Before today's meeting, it was at 19%, and now we're up to 29%. So there was quite a shift there, although there's a greater probability that the Fed will again hold in March. But we're still seeing some movement based on the inflation report. So I think we can say that the inflation report has had a fairly positive effect. Investors are feeling pretty good that inflation is again moving down, that the core rate is again falling, even though it's a slight decrease. It's important to see that inflation is again moving lower.
We've also got earnings season, specifically bank earnings. And well, Nick, very good results, particularly for JP Morgan.
Yeah, Johnny. And you know, earnings season, if you're going to talk about markets, are incredibly important. Beyond just, by the way, stock indices, it gives you a sentiment pulse read on how businesses are performing, but what that means for the broader global economy. Many of the major U.S. banks, as well as major U.S. corporations, are very international. Compared to many years ago, many of these companies do a ton of their, you know, revenue from outside of the U.S. So earnings season is really important. Long story short, we take a look at this week. We've got earnings from specifically a lot of the banks. And JP Morgan, as you mentioned, had very solid numbers. Wells Fargo also went this morning. They had good numbers. And to end out the week, we'll also get some insights from Bank of America and several other key players. Another earnings report that I think is really worth watching is actually Taiwan Semiconductor, which happens Thursday evening after market close. I know that's not a bank, but it is an incredibly important indicator to the semi kind of world, right? Semiconductors, there's a lot of drama that I imagine will come with semiconductors in the coming year as, of course, Taiwan, China, the U.S., the three semiconductor powerhouse areas of the world, may get into it when it comes to the trade war stuff that we saw back in 2018. We'll have to see. There's already some of that stuff spewing. So we'll have to keep a close eye on that. Taiwan Semiconductor's earnings, as well as the geopolitical situation between the US and China.
Very interesting. Okay, guys, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll speak to you again on Friday.
Nice to be with you both.
Thanks, guys.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.